Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation outside the 12th Hour. And the orientation today is July 29, 2023, or it is the 12th day of Ab, 2027. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song, Wonderful Words of Life. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of the beauty sing, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Yeshua, the Blessed One, gives to all wonderful words of life. Send it out to the living tongue, wonderful words of life. Oh, so freely given, ruling earth and heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of love. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Yeshua, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Part 3, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. The name of our sermon will be David's Victory Over the Giant. Page 58, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. Victory, how to track it. We're going to open with a prayer thought taken from John chapter 3. The name of our prayer thought is You Must Be Born Again by the John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came unto Yeshua by the night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from Yahweh, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except Yahweh be with him. Yeshua answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yeshua answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. For the Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Yeshua answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For the Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Yahweh sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of the Father Yahweh. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in the Father Yahweh. After these things came to Yahshua and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he turned with them and baptized. Now here it says right here that Yahshua turned with them and baptized. Now how are we to interpret that scripture? People will say, the evidence is in the Bible that Yahshua never baptized anyone. But if you take this scripture alone by itself, you can't conclude anything else but that Yahshua was that baptized. But yet they say, well, it wasn't him that baptized, it was his disciples that baptized. But if that's the case, then our translators have been remiss in making it clear when they translated the King KJV. And John also was baptized. Okay? Now here they're talking about John as one of his apostles. Well, he said, and John also was baptized. So it seems to indicate that in verse 22 of John 3, that Yahshua baptized. And then it indicates that one of his disciples, John the Baptist, was baptized. And Anon, near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet into the prison. Then there arose a question between some of the John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, The rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, unto whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come unto him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. He yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Yahshua, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. So John says, he must increase and I must decrease. And yet Yahshua said that John was the Elijah that was to come. And he's already come and they knew it now. But yet when Yahshua was introduced by this Elijah, John the Baptist, then Yahshua started increasing and John the Baptist says, I have to decrease now. So this Elijah has a message, a special message for these last days. And as soon as Yahshua appears on the scene, then this Elijah decreases, just like John the Baptist did. And Yahshua increases. Okay. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testified, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received the testimony hath set unto his seal that the Father Yahweh is true. For he whom Yahweh hath sent speaketh the words of Yahweh. For Yahweh giveth not the Spirit by the measure unto him. That's likewise us today. If we will obey his will 100%, he'll give us the Spirit without measure. For the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, shall not see eternal life. But the wrath of Yahweh abideth on him. Okay. This brings into a prayer thought. We're going to now go into our regular sermon. We pray Yahweh add his blessing to the reading of his word. And we're going to get into now the regular sermon today. We've already announced the title of it, David's Victory Over the Giant. This is next to the last paragraph on page 58 of Mount Zion at the 11th hour, traffic by the Vichy Hollow. It says, for the David's victory over the giant against whom no one was able to make war typifies the victory of the purified congregation, the house of David. Zechariah 12:8. In a time of the trouble such as never was. For the Adventist church is no more. The judgment of the dead is over. Adventist church closed out their work with the judgment of the dead. 2002 at Kermit, Texas, started the Passover. The judgment of the dead was over for the Seventh-day Adventists. Brother Johnson represented the third feeding pastor for the Seventh-day Adventists. He was the prophet. He was the angel of the seventh candlestick over Gilead Center, which was the third feeding pastor. It's only a name of Davidian Seventh-day Adventists, but they were Adventists. And so it says that is when the Adventist church came to their end. Brother Johnson was the last prophet. He was the angel of the seventh candlestick that was spewed out in Revelation 3:14-19 by Yahshua himself. Yahshua was there on the scene. He took the reins in his own hand. and he had his servant Elijah David ready to step in there and take his place, and indeed already had been given that responsibility of witnessing to Brother Johnson early on in 2001, to get ready for 2002 and what was going to take place there at Tournament. And Brother Johnson did not heed the warning. And so consequently he was spewed out and cut off and brought to prison and set the dead on the shirt. Okay, so it says, David's victory over the giant again, against whom no one was able to make war. This David today translates into the house of purified house of David, everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45. This is who this house of David is. And the 12th cup out of there. The giant represents the president of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists today. He was a symbol of that. The president of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists today is Ted Wilson. He is a Jesuit. He's not even an Adventist. He is an invader, an infiltrator. He is an antitypical giant of Philistia. He's the antitypical giant. Elijah David, this Elijah with the surname David, he also is the antitype of the Elijah that is to come and preclude the coming of the Yahshua. And he is to do this mighty work of bringing this general conference to a close. Bringing that giant to an end, challenging this giant, Ted Wilson, the General Conference. And the thing we challenge him with is with that fifth stone that slew the giant, the Goliath, that David had, that fifth angel's message that we have to proclaim today, that scrolls the third angel into the loud cry, we're the fifth angel. And so, with that fifth angel's message, we're going to slay the General Conference giant Ted Wilson and his officers, because they're enemies, the Philistines, the antitypical Philistines. And nobody in the world is able to make war against this Philistine, because he has joined up with the government's leadership of Washington, D.C., and him and the president of the Washington, D.C. are good friends, and so there is no power on earth that can defeat this power right now. But this David represents the kingdom of heaven, the head of it. He can defeat this global two-party system government of Washington, D.C., our government, and the government of the General Conference. It has one theme song, and that's the Trinity. That's the title to the mark of the beast song that they have written. So this is what we're raised up to defeat. The General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Ted Wilson, they have made an image to the beast. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has made an image to the beast that Nebuchadnezzar first established in his day. He built this great image, and Nebuchadnezzar represented that beast. And he made a great image, and it was a statue of himself. Nebuchadnezzar, the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, 90-foot tall. He wanted the whole world then to be able to see him from a long ways off, that he had a replica of him and a statue. They call it the Obelisk. They call it the Great Colossus. they call it today the image, that was a type of the image of the beast of death. Okay. It says that for David, the victory over the giant, against whom no one was able to make war, typifies the victory of the church, the purified house of David, Zechariah 12, in a time of the trouble such as never was, over the beast and his image and typical God. Concerning his formidableness, the revelator asked, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? The giant Goliath accordingly represents those who now defy the servants of Yahweh and who shall comprise the image of the beast. A religio-political system which shall defy the army of the Yeshua and issue a decree that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, and told that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelation 13:17-15. But in that day, said the Yeshua, but I made Yerushalayim a burdensome stone for all people, all that burden themselves, it shall be cut in. Well, the thing is, it says, using the wrong word here, using the wrong pronoun. It says, all that burden themselves with it, that is, with Jerusalem, shall be cut into the pieces. So all the people of the earth be gathered together against it, and that day shall the Yahshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is people among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:3-8. For the fire smooth stone in the David's bag, with one of which he slew Goliath, typify the fivefold power and the antitypical shepherd's bag. So now I represent the antitypical David today. And so then it's talking about the truth that is given to me is this antitypical, which is the five stones that was given to David. And he only used one to bring Goliath down. He had the other four left in his bag in reserve. He didn't have to use them. The Bible, with one part of which Yahweh shall today smite the beast and his image, the nations, the antitypical Goliath. And who did I tell you the antitypical Goliath was? Ted Wilson, president of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. And since we know that it is by his word in the form of a message that he shall smite the nation, so it's antitypical David by what those five stones, those messages that the five stones in his bag represent. And those five stones are a symbol of the five angels' messages found in Revelation 14. And those messages happen to represent the plan of salvation, the instruction of the plan of salvation, the birth of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. It all boils down to the new and living way by the blood of Yahshua in our day. That's the mystery of the plan of salvation. The salvation through believing in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. Believing in the high priest's operation today in the heavenly sanctuary as Yahshua up there, carrying on a priestly work on a daily basis, until the Day of Atonement each year, as Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 to 24, God is strengthened by Yahshua on a daily basis. Then, obviously, the five smooth stones represents five messages, the last of which is to wound the beast, destroy his image. Now, the beast is the Catholic Church. The image is the Seventh-day Adventist Church and General Conference President Ted Wilson, the President. So what's this fifth stone going to do? It's going to destroy the Catholic Church. Go to Daniel 7, 26 and 27. Said the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. For what reason? To take away his dominion, this beast, and to consume and destroy it unto the end. Okay? Destroy his image and free Yahweh's people from the fear of the heathen. Okay, so what is our job today? I just read it to you. So as the five stones in the shepherd's bag are figurative of the five messages, the messages therefore are necessarily scheduled somewhere in the Bible. They are in the Yahshua's parable of the vineyard, the first at the early hour, with Moses coming out of Egypt, 1500 B.C., the ceremonial system that was set up by Moses in the wilderness of the people when they came out of Egypt for 40 years, the second at the third hour. Yahshua coming 2,000 years ago unto his own, they received him not, the Pharisees. That is the crucifixion and resurrection of Yahshua, the third. Okay, and the third call at the sixth hour, 1833, with William Miller in the 2300-year prophecy, the 2300 days of Daniel 8:14, and the fourth call, fourth movement for Israel. 1844, with Ellen G. White, with the call at the ninth prophetic hour, the judgment of the dead, and the judgment of the living, that follows the judgment of the dead, and the fifth and last is at the, says the 11th hour here. There's a call at the end of the 11th hour when it's over. And in our day, Yahweh revealed to me that the 11th prophetic hour ended with Brother Johnson in 2003 at Kermit, Texas, and the judgment of the dead. And the judgment of the living in the time of the last God. So, which shall wound the beast, and with his own sword, the ten horns of the Revelation 17:16, cut off his head, and then with fire destroy him, so that the wound shall never heal again. So in the message of the hour, therefore, lies the safety of Yahweh's people. For a complete study of the parable of the Matthew 20, verse 1 to 16, and of the beast of Revelation 17, read the Shepherd's Rod, volume 2, page 222, 239, 155, and 156. For the proclaiming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Malachi 4 or 5, a day of the slaughter, Isaiah 30, 25. And a day of the darkness, Joel 2:2. This last message, this last message is to be sounded at the close of the 11th parabolic hour at the Kermit Texas, Gilead Center in 2002, which took place 20 years ago, just before the time in which, as John foresaw, the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain and said unto the mountain and rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6, 15 to 17. And a question mark comes after that. None, it says, but the righteous, the future leaders of the purified church, as a antitypical David's reign typifies, or as a typical David's reign, and the old typifies, which is a type, who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him unto his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him ruler over kings. He gave them as a dust unto his sword, and as a driven stubble unto his belt. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun, shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes, as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay, Isaiah 41:2-3:25. Behold, I have given him for a witness unto the people, a leader and a commander unto the people. Behold, I shall call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Yahshua, and for the, because of the Yahweh, the Father Yahweh, and for the Holy One Yahshua, his Son of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. This is the purified house of David. He's glorified us. Seek ye the Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55:46. Since for the Yahweh's honor and for the prosperity of his people, both Elijah's message and David's reign took the lives of many, Elijah's message, the lives of the apostate teachers in Israel, and 1 Kings 18:40, that was when Elijah went up to Mount Carmel and slew those 854 prophets of Baal and Asherah. He already then had to bring set up judgment with three other people to bring the whole house of Israel into compliance with the salvation. And so he had to raise up the king of Assyria. He had to raise up Jehu, slew the whole house of Ahab, and got rid of him and all his household. And he raised up then Elisha to succeed Elijah and carried on a purified ministry in Israel for 55 years after Elijah went to heaven. All right? He says, since the Yahweh's honor and for the prosperity of his people, both Elijah's message and David's reign took the lives of many. Elijah's message, the lives of the apostate teachers in Israel, 1 Kings 18:40. And David's reign, David's reign took the lives of the heathen who defied Yahweh and his army. That was the Philistines and all of the other heathen around them that defied Yahweh's army. 1 Chronicles 22:68. Therefore, the work of the Elijah particularly typifies the day of the slaughter and the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That would be Ezekiel 9. And the reign of David, the destruction of the heathen, and the possession of the earth. An earthen prophecy is the United States. So when it says possession of the earth, it means that he's going to make David the president of the United States of America. He's going to sit him up as the president. Zechariah 12:8-9. Jeremiah 30:3-9. Whereupon Yahshua the son of David shall visibly appear. So Yahshua the son of David shall visibly appear. Take unto himself his kingdom, Luke 19:15, and glorify it with the everlasting peace, as typified by the peaceful reign of the David's son, Solomon, and in the days of these antitypical events shall be completely realized the promise, and it shall come to pass when thy days be expired, that thou, David, must go be to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy son, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. 1 Chronicles 17:11-13. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bears rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 29:2. While unto the righteous he makes the kingdom his place and protection, unto the heathen Yahweh makes it his battle axe. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, declares Yahshua, in the foreshadowing unto the posterity of Jacob, their ultimate destiny. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horses, the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of the oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. Jeremiah 51:20-23. For the stone, Daniel 2:45, Zechariah 3:9, the 144,000. I don't like this. Ricky Hodder took it upon himself to insert that 144,000 number after he talked about the stone of Daniel 2:45 and Zechariah 3:9. He just said, that's the 144,000. Revelation 14:1. That's cut out of the mountain, the Yahshua's church without hand, without the human help, is to break the nations that are symbolized by the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold of the great image, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. So all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Oh, in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession, and the house of the Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Yahshua has spoken it, and they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of the Ephraim, and the fields of the Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even under Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, that is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south, and saviors shall come from Mount Zion, the son of Obadiah, 21, to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Yahshua. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahshua, the son, shall be delivered. For in the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the everlasting kingdom of David, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Yahshua has said, and in the remnant whom he, the Yahshua, shall call. And that remnant is the 144,000. And this angelical David is represented by that stone that was cut out of the mountain out of hand, not the 144,000. That's how it seemed to indicate. On the foregoing scripture, we see that for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted, Isaiah 60, verse 12. On the foregoing scriptures, we see that as a result of rejecting the truth proclaimed by his church, the wicked go to destruction. And echoing this prophetic pronouncement of their doom, Yahshua declares, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, unto him will I give power over the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of the iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father. Revelation 2:26-27. Okay, so what does it say? And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, unto him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Revelation 2:26-27. He that overcometh, being the one who is to rule the nation with a rod of the iron, and the need and the work of the overcoming being not his but his followers, the truth is obvious that the Yahshua will have a victorious nation, a kingdom through which he will manifest his great power, and which shall be a kingdom of peace. That a heaven-like safety and peace shall infuse the kingdom at the time that Yahweh, the Son, shall use it as his battle axe, under which to smite the nation is evidenced by the following scripture: for the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the child and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall be lie down together, and the lion shall be still like the ox, and the second child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cock of his den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth it shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahshua, as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:6-9. When this state of the knowledge and peace prevails in the kingdom, then in that day there shall be a root of the Jesse, which Yahshua says that he is that root, an offspring of David, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Unto it shall the Gentiles seek. Consequently, it is in the probationary time of the last parabolic hour, the 12th, that we're in now. And in that day, the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people. Isaiah 11:10-11. And in that day, says the Yahshua, through his prophet Hosea, in the reiteration of his covenant of peace, will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. Hosea 2:18. For a detailed treatment of the Hosea chapter 1 and 2, read our track number 4, The Latest News from Mother. As in the Noah's Ark, the type, so in the antitypical Ark, the everlasting kingdom of the David, Daniel 2:44-45, nothing shall hurt or destroy the lion, the wolf, the lamb, the leopard, the calf, and the fatling shall live peaceably together, and like the ox, all that feed on the straw, thus now as in the day of Noah's time, Yahweh shall preserve a remnant of man and beast out of his home crib, instead of exterminating every living thing and then creating them all over again. For the recognition of this fact, the Apostle Paul said, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of the Yahweh. For the creature was made subject unto vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of Yahweh. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in the pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to witness the redemption of our bodies. Romans 8:19-23. It says, and he will destroy in this mountain, he says, this kingdom of the beast. He says, and he will destroy in this mountain, this kingdom of peace, says Isaiah, the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up death in the victory, and the Yahshua will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Yeshua has spoken it. And it shall be in that day, the day in which Yeshua wipes away the tears from the faces of all his people, unto thee. Lo, this is our Yahweh, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yeshua, we have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Yahweh rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. Isaiah 25:7-10. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Isaiah 33:24. This be Yahweh, O my soul, exult living. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Yeshua, O my soul. It's actually, David is talking to the son. He says, bless the Yeshua, the son Yeshua, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases. And who was it that healed when Yeshua was here on earth? He put forth his hand, he spoke the word, and they were healed. All thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from the destruction, who crowneth thee with a loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with a good thing, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Psalms 103:1-5. For the further study of the subject of the continuation of life, see our tract number 5, Final Warning, page 63-65, revised edition. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I will have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Yeshua, the Redeemer, and I will hear them. And they of the Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their hearts shall rejoice as through the wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in the Yeshua. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. Here it is right here. Yeshua told me. By his blood. He's redeemed them by his blood. And they shall increase as they have increased, and I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in the four countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and get them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead, okay, and Lebanon, and place shall be found for them. It says, and a place shall be. It says, shall not be found for them. I don't understand that. Let's read it with the project. A place shall be found for them, and he shall pass through the sea with the affliction, and shall smite the waves of the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away, and I will strengthen them in the Yahshua, and they shall walk up and down in my name, in his name, saith the Yahweh, the Father, Zechariah 10:6-12, unfailing assurance that ours is a supreme privilege, let Yahshua, the Son, reign over us. For since these our Sith followers have prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And now that the time has come for the prayer to be fulfilled, let us live out our prayers, lest any of us be found among the unfaithful Christ with whom Yeshua concludes the following parable. Okay, and he goes into this parable. And he said, for a certain nobleman went into a foreign country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. This nobleman in the parable is Yeshua. He went to heaven after his crucifixion and resurrection. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, had received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, unto whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by the trading. Then it came the first, saying, Master, thy bound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, thy bound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Master, behold, here is thy town, 1 pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou thy money unto the bank, then at my coming I might have required mine own with the usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it unto him that hath the 10 pounds. They said unto him, Master, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. If those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Luke 19:12-27. This brings in the status of our contest at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Praise him or praise him.
Praise him, praise him, Yahshua the blessed Redeemer. Say, how perfect, wonderful love broken. Hail him, hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Yahshua will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Yahshua, blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He hath wrought a hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Yahshua the crucified. Sound his praises, Yahshua who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, praise him, Yahshua, blessed Redeemer. Heavenly for those loveth Hosanna ring. Yahshua, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Yahshua is coming over the world victorious. Bow and glory unto the Yah belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.